Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good for you, sir. Did you know that fluorescent light bulbs last 10 times longer than regular ones?
Yep, and they only use one quarter of the power. But if we're going to solve the climate crisis, we've got to change more than the light bulbs and the windows. We've got to change the laws and the policies through collective political action on a large scale. You know, there's an old African proverb that I made up. If you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We need to go far, quickly.
Mr. Vice President, the snack table isn't going to clean itself.
Look again, Kenneth.
Well, that's not super helpful.
Kenneth, encourage your lawmakers to take action and recycle everything, including jokes.
I'm sorry, sir, what?
Quiet. A whale is in trouble. I have to go.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the man.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden center, and by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. If you can't find him on Facebook, it's because he's got a paper bag over his head. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time.
I'm looking here, and Dick Kay's CD is still in the machine.
Uh-oh.
The Back on the Beat. Show open, bumper, rejoin. Maybe I should just play his.
You're going to confuse people then.
I'll just say, you're right. Yeah. I couldn't say Back on the Beat. I'd have to say Back in the Behind the Shovel or something like that. So
a lot of people are behind the shovel with this weather.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. Da-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, me at about 1 a.m.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to get this done because I knew if I, you know, I wasn't going to get up early and do it. Are you kidding me? And I wanted it done and needed, and I wanted to get ahead of the game because I think there's a little more on the way.
Yeah, they said there's supposed to be more, but we can double check with Rick.
Well, yeah, we could double check with Rick, mm-hmm. but didn't we do that last week, Tuesday evening? Well, you got to understand, Rick invited us to this...
Solstice party.
Solstice party, mm-hmm. which was really cool.
It was cool.
Over at his place on Lake Michigan.
Oh, my God, it was
in gorgeous. Rogers Park. You open the slide, the panel, and
the
you
lake.
And
you
then
can
you jump
it.
In. Yeah. Spit, you could jump into it. And really cool.
But there were how many meteorologists there?
How many meteorologists?
There was at least five.
Does it take to change a compact fluorescent? And they were all there, and I don't think the compact fluorescent got changed at all.
No, it didn't. But you know what I thought was the most intriguing about the whole, you know, experience?
What?
Was that you had all those meteorologists in a room together, and they do talk about the weather. But they talk about it in ways that you can't comprehend, like in its own secret language. You know, the L7 and the, you know, the pressure up and down. And I was like, wow.
I know.
It's not like normal weather small talk. This was weather talk. I was impressed.
Unbelievable.
It was. It was unbelievable. And they all said that the snow and ice would come late the next day, and it came early. So I almost wanted to call everyone at the party and been like, you said it wasn't coming till later.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, is to have all those meteorologists in the room and everybody get it wrong.
Yeah. They knew they got it right. It came.
I hope Rick is not listening right
he's
now.
He's not up yet. He's brewing coffee. And
I know.
Stumbling around.
I hope he's got his
apartment.
Coffee because that was kind of funny. He was explaining. You know, that was the other thing. I gotta ask him about. He's like, he has all these meteorologists in the room, and I said, I realized afterward that because they all said, so you got a radio show? It's like. And Rick, haven't you ever told anybody that you do this thing on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and used to be in at 12:30 in the afternoon? Do you tell any of your friends?
Don't they tune in? Can they listen?
Yeah.
But your website got lots of hits, though, because they went back to listen.
What do you mean?
Well, I kept telling them, you know, you got to go to the website, listen to old shows, and you can hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bet I didn't have one extra hit on the website. Oh, boy. Welcome. Hey, we're in that weird sort of in-between period where...
It's not quite Christmas. It's not quite New Year's.
It's past Christmas. It's not quite New Year's. We're smack in the middle. What do you do? Well, what I'm going to do today on the show, I got... You know, we're it, Heather. We're it. We're the guests. Because what I want to do is go over some stories this year. That I had this year, that every week when I come down to the studio, I have all this stuff prepared, and I never get to any of it, including some goofy stories and stories that I think are interesting, that you might find interesting, and then I get wrapped up in conversations with my guests, and I never get around to them. So what I did is I kind of went through all my prep for the past year to see what stories never made it to the air, and actually a couple of them that I listed did make it, but are worth repeating, but some of them are odd, like one of the stories I've got is somebody's come up with an invention that could replace the plastic bottle.
Really?
Yeah. How about a paper bottle?
Get out, really?
Look at the picture here. I got it on my, if you go to MikeNovak.net this week, Mike Nova, MikeNovak.net/this week, or you just go to the homepage and click on this week, and you'll see links to all these goofy stories that I thought would be interesting.
That's cool, though.
And one of them was sent to me by a friend. Well, actually, we can go into this. The woman who wrote about this, Janet Ginsburg, I'm trying to get her on the show. She's very busy. She does this website called News Tracker, Tracker News, actually. But it's hard to tell from the way it's set up. It looks like News Tracker, but it's Tracker News, I guess. And she does all kinds of stuff on health, humanitarian, technical stuff. And she did this story on paper bottles.
Like water bottles? And
yeah, and she said, leave it to an 8-year-old, specifically the 8-year-old son of Jim Warner, managing director of design consultancy Brand Image, who took one look at a plastic bottle his dad had helped create and said, oh, you make trash. Once the sting of that nasty little unvarnished truth wore off, Warner set to work to make not just a better bottle, but a better approach to bottling altogether. And with the 360 paper bottle, he may have hit the eco ball straight out of the cradle-to-cradle design park. The bottle, introduced as a spec project to generate some buzz for the firm in 2008, generated an extreme response, says Warner. Hundreds of calls winnowed down a handful of companies and organizations who have partnered with Brand Image to bring the bottles to market, possibly as early as sometime in 2010.
Cool.
And among the virtues of the 360 bottle, not actually made out of paper but pulp, which can be sourced from almost anything fibrous, such as bamboo, sugarcane, or banana leaves. Local production plants can source local materials, generating local jobs and commerce. A shorter distribution chain means less transport-generated carbon dioxide. The bottles are designed to become their own multi-unit packaging. A six-pack literally sticks together. You can see that in the picture. They can be shipped flat to be filled closer to their final destination.
Wow. Can they only be used once? Can they be reused?
They are compost-friendly. That's a good question. Let's see.
You would assume they were compost-friendly.
Yeah, I think they can only be used once, and there's a video. I don't know the answer to that question, actually, and I don't see it here, but I looked at the video earlier. It's just and of course they don't release bisphenol A or BPA,
right,
which we've talked about,
right,
this year. They will not contribute to the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. And I really do hope that in the beginning of the year I'm able to get. And that reminds me of getting the
pictures.
Well, there was a person, a friend of a friend who was out there at the garbage patch looking at it, and I want a first-hand report. I think that would just be so awesome. I mean, awesome.
It'd be stomach-turningly awesome.
Yeah, I know. You know, and you got a garbage patch the size of two Texases floating around in the Pacific Ocean, and you know, and that's a really good point. When people say the deniers, the global warming deniers say, nah, we don't have, you know, you can't point to human beings as affecting anything. What makes you think? You want to put them on a boat in a dinghy.
Yeah.
Put them in a dinghy and put them out in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and say, okay, clean this up.
Yeah.
It should only take a day or two because...
Yeah. People don't do that much damage.
No, we don't do that much damage to the planet. You know, just because you can't see it in the atmosphere doesn't mean it's not there. Yeah, I think that's the answer.
I think they still think the world is flat and that Christopher Columbus was full of it, so... I mean, what you going to do?
Well, the flat earthers, yeah, all that.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, so that's one of the stories that I thought was interesting this year that didn't make it to the show for one reason or another, and I got a few others. And I'll tell you what, you know what we should do is give away some stuff today. Do some quizzes. I don't know what quiz.
We could ask what state just sued Illinois over the Asian carp. We could start easy.
I notice you're fascinated. See, and that's another.
Well, I just thought it was such an interesting update. Because we had it like the week before they broke it out that they were going to poison the canal. We had everyone on the show. We did it like 3 days before the story really hit.
I planned it that way.
You're a genius.
But no, I just read the newspapers occasionally and would go online. And actually, I read press releases, too, that people send me and say, hey, we're gonna poison 6 miles of river. Are you interested? Do you think it's kind of cool or what?
Oh, God.
I know. And now...
But then now, like, that just blew me away.
All right. Let's make it easy.
We can start easy, and then we'll get harder.
That's an easy one. 773-838-WCPT. It's way too easy because there's only how many hours can there be? You know, if we'd have said what entity, but you've already the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
What part of that story can we do as a quiz? All right, we'll start easy. I won't give out a big prize. What state is suing Illinois? What neighbor has decided enough is enough? Stop dithering and do something. Because, you know, we're going to... of course, then the flip side will be, well, we only found one.
Right.
There was only one carp.
Do you think... what are the possibilities that it's already in the lakes, just at an undetectable number?
I think it's a great possibility.
Yeah.
There's some people who believe it's... Yeah, who believe that completely at this point.
Nope, we got one.
A carp?
A carp
just one?
And a call.
773-838-9278. Heather will answer that and talk to you. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. And by the way, as I always say, go to my website. I put the stuff up on the website so you can see it. And I hope you write to me. You're always welcome to do that and ask me questions. Not that I'll answer them, but I do occasionally. My staff is well, me. Heather's here on Sundays, but she's also running the office here at the radio station during the rest of the week, so she can't really be answering questions. That's the way it works in radio. There's not a whole lot of staff. You can always write Mike at MikeNovak.net, Mike at MikeNovak.net. You can always go to MikeNovak.net and look at this week's show, or go to information from past shows, and it's all there. Just everything from day one we started a year ago, April, everything we've covered is there. And you can, you know, if you missed something on the show. And now we've got the archives, which is cool, which we've been running. And I put the last week's archive up there. I'm going to redo it. So I have a special link to It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. If you missed it last week, I did that. But I did a little edit on my home computer editing program. It came out kind of tinny. So I'm going to do it here and then send it. They got real editing equipment here. But that's up there. If you go to the whole show and towards the end, you'll find It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life, which Heather Fry co-starred in.
Oh, it was lovely.
Oh,
good,
yeah.
Times.
I know. That was back in 2009. Oh, I miss those days. All right, let us go to line one. Donald is in Chicago. Donald, good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you?
I am fine. What is Nepenthes doing on your website?
What is a what?
Nepenthes, the photograph of the plant.
Nepenthes, where are we looking? Oh, you're looking at the info from this week's stuff?
Yes.
That is actually, if you go to the, I'm so glad you brought that up. There is the article that says, where is it? Giant rat eating plant discovered in the Philippines. Heather, didn't you give me that story, or did?
That one wasn't mine.
Oh,
no. I wish I could say it was, but alas, I cannot.
I'm pretty sure that's where that comes from. And I'm clicking on number one because I think that's where it is. There it is. Yeah. If you click on the first link where it says giant, gotta love it, rat-eating plant discovered.
Okay.
I like that idea. I'm trying to
they
grow.
They need those in Chicago alleyways.
Like I said, I'm trying to grow it in my own neighborhood right now. And it is, I'm going to that right now, and since you brought that up.
You had rats crawling into that, I would be very afraid.
That would be cool, though. I said, something about carnivorous plants just strikes the imagination. What kid isn't awed or grossed out by Venus flytraps when they first see them?
You mean we should tell the people who come to the Lincoln Park Conservatory that the plant over the koi pond is for rats to go into? And
well, no, because then obviously not all of them can do that. In this article, which is by Brian Merchant, and it's on this website called Tree Hugger, I guess. And it's Travel in Nature. He says the scientists just discovered a new species of plant that eats rats in a remote area of the Philippines. So when are you guys going to get it?
We have large ones above the koi pond, large Nepenthes.
And it's, you know, see, you already know more than I do.
Does it really, like, capture mice like a Venus flytrap captures flies?
I don't know if it's ever been mentioned to eat large animals, but it certainly is big enough pitcher plant that it could do it.
So basically, that's what it is a pitcher plant.
Correct.
And I've had pitcher plants in my yard, in my garden, and a lot of people do. They're cool, and they do trap bugs and other things. And of course, Venus flytrap does. But this apparently, it's a newly discovered species. Evidently, among the largest of all pitchers, and is so big that it can catch rats as well as insects in its leafy trap. The animals come in, they fall into the tube, the plant closes its tube, and they check in, but they don't check out.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Well, when you come over next time, you stick your hand in there. We'll see what happens.
No.
No, thank you. Yeah, so how many did you say you have there, Donald?
We have one large one directly over the koi pond in the orchid room.
Ever lose a koi?
I don't think that. If they were flying carp, maybe they could fly into it.
We are talking, by the way, to Captain Coleus from the Lincoln Park Conservatory. How are you, Don?
I am fine.
What's going on? What should we know? Tell, you know, while I got you on the phone, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas. We're in the in-between here. Hope you had a good 2009.
Well, we're still in the midst of our free train exhibit at the flower show aspect of the conservatory in the showroom. So people really enjoy coming out during December and the beginning of January to see the trains.
Have you had a good good crowds?
Fairly good crowds. But when you're next door to the zoo, you kind of get people coming from the zoo as well.
You're not saying you get the cast-offs from the zoo, are you?
No, just that you walk by us before you go there or on your way back.
Yeah, it's a double dip is what it is.
A triple dip when you consider the Nature Museum, too.
That's true. That's true. Peggy Notabart is right across the street. And then the year-round farmer's market now?
True, but I think only 2 days a week.
Yeah, not every day. So, yeah, I think you're right. Are you in the midst of propagating anything at the moment?
Well, we have the Navy Pier Flower Show coming up. We have our next spring show coming up. And, of course, starting things for next year's plantings outdoors. So I'm extremely busy.
Oh, so you are in the middle. When do you start getting stuff together, and what kind of plants are you working with right now?
Well, of course, spring-related plant material, stock, snapdragons, violas, all sorts of things that we would put typically in a spring show. And, of course, we're getting all our beautiful azaleas groomed for the show.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been doing this now? I mean, what stage are your plants in?
Well, the azaleas are grown on a year-round basis.
Well, yes, azaleas are grown. That's different. I'm talking about the ones that you propagate yourself, like coleuses. Are you propagating any coleuses right now?
Not quite, because that's for the summer show. That's one step ahead of me.
Ah, all right. And you mentioned the flower show at Navy Pier.
Correct.
Is the conservatory doing something for the flower show?
Oh, definitely. We have an exhibit there this year.
You do?
Yes, we do.
Because you don't every year. Right?
That's true, but that's because the mayor had his own private flower show 1 year.
Well, that was, yeah, we all know about
we,
that,
we,
that.
We don't speak of it.
That's right. We pretend that didn't happen.
So you can't be two places at the same time.
Exactly. And that's why it didn't work. It's hard enough getting one really, really good garden show in the city. And when you try to do two, then it just dilutes the effort.
But it was beautiful in Grand Park, just that the weather didn't cooperate.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I think I've talked about this on the show before, but for people, this happened, I can't even remember, what year was this?
A couple years ago.
No, it was more than a couple. It was like 2006, I think, okay. Maybe three or four. I think 2006, if I'm not mistaken. And what happened was... The mayor wanted a flower show in Grant Park, and you know there were some things to be said for that, but it was under tents, and they wanted to create the Chelsea Garden Show in Chicago. Now Chelsea. It's one of the most famous garden shows in the world, and it's in England. The problem is we don't have England's weather, and it got cold and rainy. It was like 45 and raining.
That sounds like England.
Yeah, but not in May.
No.
And
not like Chicago.
And it was in May, and oh God, the big gala dinner was under the tents, and women in black dresses with no sleeves, freezing. The what you saw most of all were goosebumps, and the water was dripping down from the pipes onto the tables with the dinnerware and the fancy linens, and it was like raining indoors, and the biggest lines were for the porta potties because they were heated. It was.
Well, at least they spared no expense on the porta potty.
They spared no expense.
If you're going to go, you're going to go
for the gala. And so, and I don't know if that's what did it, but that was the last we saw of the mayor's show in Grant Park.
Mm.
So now it's back at Navy Pier, and I'm glad you're going to be working.
Most definitely.
So, were you answering a question, Don?
Yes, he was actually. Do you remember the trivia question, Don?
Certainly, it was about the flying carp and who's suing us.
and who is that?
Michigan.
All right.
Yep.
You always win stuff on the show, Don.
Well, it's because I'm your most faithful listener.
I think you are.
I think that, though.
Somebody's got to have that job. So what do we send Don? What are we going to... You probably got every book, horticultural book.
Do you have kids in your life, Don?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have kids in your life, nieces, nephews, grandkids?
Yes, I do have nieces and nephews.
All right, there we go. We are going to send you... The one on top? No, we got two of these.
Yeah.
Do you have any who are in the age range? Let's see, which one is... This is Earl the Earthworm Digs for His Life. And it's signed by the author, I believe. Yep, Tim Magner, who was on the show a few weeks ago. He wrote I Heart Worms and Dirt. And then he signed it Tim Magner. And I'm trying to remember, which age is this one for? Hold on. This is... Now, I got to go back to my show. Go back to the past shows. This is, I can't remember. I think this is not the youngest one. This is like the in-between.
No, I do believe that's the in-between one, yes.
My niece, nephew are 7 and 9.
Oh, this is perfect. I think this is exactly what they...
That'll be good. This one was for a little bit more mature.
Yeah, the environmental one. See, we can't even find stuff. I think you've gone too far.
Oh,
you got look for the picture on the side. That will help.
Oh.
There's the clue for you. Keep going.
There we go.
Earl the Earthworm, ages 5 to 9.
Sounds good.
That's perfect. So I'm going to send you Earl the Earthworm Digs for His Life. And thank you for being my number one listener.
No problem.
I would give you, you got your prize for that. And thanks for your great work at the Lincoln Park Conservatory, Don. It's Don Choi, by the way. He also known as Captain Coleus, but he basically goes by Don.
That's correct.
And have a great 2010.
We'll keep in touch.
We absolutely will. I'm going to put you on hold, and you can talk to Heather. She'll send along the stuff. We need to get Rick DeMaio on board because it's 8:32 already. How time
doesn't it though
flies? I know what we can do. You know, it'd be nice if I had anything set up here. We will have Rick DeMaio weather coming up as always. Like I said, today is just kind of going through some of the stuff that I found during the year, we will, some of the stories that I thought were kind of fun, and I'm looking here. Where are we? Don't mind me. I'm just clicking away here, but I'm going through some of the stories, like the giant rat eating plant and the paper bottles, which I think is a cool thing, and there's more to come on the Mike Novak Show.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Now that Christmas is over and we're on the eve of the new year, it's probably time to take a look around the house and tend to some of those all-important indoor gardening tasks you've neglected. You know, it happens around this time of year. You think, wow, those plants look awful. I need to fix those up. Such as repotting the unruly houseplants that were temporarily shoved behind the bookcase when you made room for the Christmas tree. Sid's Greenhouses can help with the right soil mixes and fertilizers for every plant and one of Chicagoland's largest assortments of decorative pots and pottery. Of course, they have a great selection of lush tropical houseplants as well. Remember, houseplants not only look great, they also help improve indoor air quality. If you've been enjoying a lovely poinsettia for the past several weeks, you're in luck. Now through February 1st, you can trade in, I've never heard of this before, but you can trade in your poinsettia plant at SIDS and get 25% off a shiny new tropical plant. I wonder if they just compost them or they... But you can trade it in! Oh, and just in case you haven't had your fill of Christmas decorating, all remaining Christmas merchandise is 60 to 75% off while supplies last. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
Cafe Bella is Logan Square's newest great restaurant. High-end chef Cesar Casas, formerly of Ambria, prepares fresh, wholesome, but decadently delicious food. From the pulled pork sandwich for lunch to the tilapia provençal for dinner, the atmosphere is relaxed. There's free Wi-Fi, BYOB. Cafe Bella, 3311 West Fullerton, just east of Kimball. Go to cafebellaonline.com or call 773-292-5040. Cafe Bella, for gourmet healthy eating.
You and your best date have a New Year's Eve date right here. Join us on CBS Radio New Year's Eve as many of these same stations present America's top dance bands, one right after another, from mid-evening right up to dawn.
Happy New Year, baby!
Happy New Year, nothing! The way you treated me last year was nothing happy about.
Yeah, babe, but that was last year. This year, I'm turning over a new leaf.
I don't believe it.
You don't? Well, pick up on this, child. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. About this time every Sunday, we go to line one because that's where he usually pops up, and that's Rick DeMille. Sometimes you're on line Q, but today you're on line one.
Oh, I like being on line one. I deserve to be on line one. I deserve combat pay for the amount of times I looked at the radar and said, I don't believe this is happening yesterday.
yesterday? Wait a second. Are you speaking of the year in general, or are you speaking of yesterday in particular?
Yesterday in particular.
Yeah.
That was a lot of snow.
Where did that come from?
Thanks, Heather, for cluing Mike in on what I was beginning to talk about.
I got some grief at his party the other night, too, about this. Now, I'm not doing anything else. I am all ears, Rick DeMille.
There was a lot of snow in the air yesterday, Mr. Novak.
I know that. I shoveled some of it last night. Now, it wasn't, but the nice thing is it was really fluffy.
Yes, it was. It wasn't thick and heavy.
And one of the things when we got, did you hear us talking earlier about your meteorologist friends at your party last week?
No, I missed that part.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
No, they were wonderful people. They were just wrong.
Don't go to the archives and listen to the conversation at the top of the show, okay, Rick?
Oh, okay, I won't.
they were really fun, and it was great listening to them talk about things, weather things that meteorologists talk about.
Yeah, it was cool to listen to meteorologists talk about the weather.
And one of the things they talked about, I was thinking of last night as I was shoveling the walk at 1 a.m., and that was...
10 inches of what the heck is this?
Well, yeah. Well, we'll get to that part in a second, but that one of your friends said, was laughing about how people say, well, you know, 8.3 came down in Naperville, and they say,
right.
How do you know that? Who's measuring? Whose measurement is it? There's no way to accurately measure snowfall.
The drift and this and that. Yeah, they got very detailed.
Yeah, I know. And it was funny because I was working Channel 2 yesterday. I'll be working again today, and I'm posting all these snowfall totals, and then that exact thought was going through my mind. What I'm typing in, 12.4 and 8.3. I'm like, what the heck? Just round it to 8.5 or 12.0 or something like that.
All right, now, let's see.
Then I realized my tote board didn't look that scientific, so I went back and put in the 0.4.
See, you got
to presentation,
Rick. You got to go on TV.
Presentation, Heather.
You got to go on TV and level with folks. You got to do it. You got to tell them, look, these numbers are just, we're just guessing, folks. Even after the snow stops, we really don't know what fell. We can't accurately measure this stuff.
When someone says that they have 7 inches of snow on their back railing, and then they send in a picture to confirm that, I go, okay, I get it. You got 7 inches, and it's still snowing. And
do they usually stick the ruler down in there so you can see exactly where it is?
Sunk in.
No, I leave that to my mother. She does those kind of corny things. And by the way, my mother called me up at 6:15 this morning. I have no idea why. And I pick up the phone. I'm like, Ma? She's like, Ricky? I'm like, why are you calling me at 6:15? She goes, just want to let you know that your father and I are on the road back down to Florida. And we're very, very, you know, we're blessing the Lord that it's a nice, dry highway. I'm like, Ma, it's 6:15. So, oh, that's right. You're an hour behind me. I'm sorry. I'll call you later. I'm like,
as if 7:15 would be okay.
7:15 wouldn't be okay, but she still doesn't get the fact that the East Coast, 7:15, and the Midwest is 6:15. It's been that way for about a couple of thousand years, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm a little bit ornery this morning.
Did you have your coffee?
No, not
See,
at all.
See, you have to fix that.
I know. I'm still licking my wounds from yesterday. When I went on the air at 5,
uh-huh.
This is what meteorologists call a whoops. And because it was amazing, because, you know, I'm looking at this situation developed yesterday, and this was the storm that actually the front edge came through, if you recall, Tuesday night when a lot of us got together for my little winter solstice soiree.
Right.
And we had the freezing drizzle and freezing rain, which we were all debating about on Wednesday morning, then went to snow, and then went to all rain, and went back to freezing rain, and back to snow. And then we knew that we were going to get this backside system, and then I'm looking at the radar yesterday. I'm like, wow, this almost looks like a stationary line of thunderstorms out across the western suburbs. And the more I'm looking at this, I'm like, this isn't moving. And when you see something like that on the radar at this time of the year, you're thinking to yourself, that's a lot of snow. And even 4 years of school and 25 years of professional work in the field of meteorology, you can end up still saying, that's a lot of snow. And I'm briefing some of my snow removal guys out in Elgin, and they're thinking, okay, we have 4 inches on the ground. How much longer do you think it's going to snow? I'm thinking, well, at least another 6 hours. And they go, how much is coming down per hour? I'm like, well, about 1 to 2 inches an hour. He says, well, if my math is right, that's about another 9 inches. I'm like, yeah, that's right. You're going to get about another 9 inches on top of the 3 or 4 that they already had. And sure enough, some places had... in parts of Kane County, anywhere between 12 and 14 inches of snow. Now, the good thing about it, you brought this up earlier, Mike and Heather, is that this is very light, very fluffy snow, but still, you still have to post the fact that 14 inches of snow came down, which is just incredible. When you think about it, Rockford, which was only about, say, 20 miles west of the heavy snow band, had about 5 inches, and O'Hare, which was about 15 miles east of the heavy snow band, had about 5 inches. So you think to yourself, okay, do I cough this up to just something that you'll never be able to forecast again, but you still observe it and analyze it and go back and look at it and say, wow, this is really, really cool. I wonder how this happened. And you wonder if you can predict it again. And most likely, 9 times out of 10, you won't be able to predict something like this. But the bottom line is, I mean, it snowed really, really hard. And I've talked to a couple of people already. And in 25 years of watching it, I've never seen this much snow in a narrow band on the backside of the system. It was very, very impressive. But the good thing is that we're not going to get that today. All that ends up going south of us, and we may get an inch or two today, Mike, and that's about it. So,
hard to get a
double whoops, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, but you know, I was looking at, I'm kind of geeky about this myself, and I was looking at the maps, and as you said, the system really started on Tuesday, and we've been dealing with this, and there were like piggyback low pressure centers, and
right, exactly.
And the second one just kind of hung around and spun, and we're lucky we're not in Minnesota or Iowa, because got hammered, right?
Right. Yeah. This was an event that will probably go down as probably one of the strongest systems you'll see all year, because when it did start out on Tuesday, we had 29 states under some sort of winter weather advisory. There were, I think, 8 states under blizzard warnings. And for literally 3 consecutive days, that's 3 in a row, you had North Dakota, western Minnesota, all of South Dakota, half of Nebraska, and half of Iowa under a blizzard warning. And, you know, this is the time of the year where people are driving. You know, you have your day before Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You know, people out in those regions, they don't drive 5 blocks to go visit people. You know, they drive 50 miles.
Yeah.
So you got to imagine that there's people who just was like, well, we'll see you on New Year's Eve to celebrate Christmas. And that's really a shame when it comes down to it. We're here in, you know, a big city like Chicago. You can kind of get around a little bit. But I don't know if you guys were out, you know, late Christmas night between about 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock when that first cold front moved through. We dropped about 20 degrees in about 6 hours, and the roads were just absolutely terrible. And I could only imagine if we would have had yesterday's weather on Christmas Day, what would have happened in some parts of the metropolitan area. So I guess in some ways we're lucky, but boy, this has been a tough month to start out winter. We're already up to 19 inches of snow at O'Hare. Last year we were up to 21 at this point, and the normal is 12. So we're already 9 inches above normal for the season for snow. And there could be more in the way by New Year's Eve, which I know people don't want to hear about, but it definitely looks like the pattern still remains somewhat active, Mike.
Well, okay. Tell us, what are we looking at for New Year's Eve?
Well, first we got to get past today. We'll probably get about an inch or two. This is going to go mainly south of us, as you called it, a piggyback low. This is like low pressure center number 4, and I feel like it's a game show. low pressure number 4 goes south of us. This will be the final one that kind of drags all the cold weather.
Yeah, yeah, until the next one comes, right?
No, this is pretty much it. I mean, the weather maps, when they're able to forecast large-scale systems, don't lie. But this one definitely goes east of us. We'll probably end up with, I think this will be day number 9 in a row of no sunshine, so very, very overcast period. Very windy, very cold day tomorrow, so when the Bears and Vikings play at Soldier Field tomorrow night, you'll see a lot of that breath coming out of there, out of the football player's mouth, particularly because it's a night game. Maybe some lake effect snow east of us Tuesday, but Tuesday looks like a sunny day. If you want to get out and do some cross-country skiing, or I know, Mike, you like to take pictures of the outdoors this time of the year, Tuesday looks like the best day of the bunch. Wednesday, we may get back into some clouds and a couple of hours of maybe some light rain or snow by the evening hours. But I do think this is going to be probably a much lighter system than the last one. And then everything is showing us to get into somewhat of a little bit of a snow system during the day on Thursday. I know people don't want to hear that, but this one may produce a couple of inches of snow New Year's Eve night, probably into New Year's Day morning. But right now it doesn't look anything like the system that we had come over us yesterday. So if we get maybe an inch or two on New Year's Day, I say New Year's Eve, that should be about it. But I mean, it's very rare that here in Chicago we have nice weather on New Year's Eve. If we get a little bit of snow early in the day, that should be it. But it definitely looks like things dry out as we head into New Year's Eve night. So cloudy skies, maybe temperatures in the 20s New Year's Eve, and probably in the upper teens New Year's Eve night, and the beginning of the year definitely looks like to be a cold one, with readings probably only in the 20s as we head into next weekend. But it definitely looks like the storm track lightens up a little bit. Nothing, anything real big around here for probably the next 5 days. It looks like the East Coast takes the brunt of it after that.
You know, even with the amount of snow we had in the area yesterday, most people didn't get it. Yeah, they got like five or 6 inches,
right.
And it was really light.
Very light as well. Yeah.
Light, very fluffy. I mean, I used the broom on the steps because it was...
Or you could blow on it.
Yeah, it was amazingly. But it seems like here in Chicago, we keep dodging these bullets. We have this huge blizzard out in the plains, and mm-hmm. there's one on the East Coast, and we've just gotten kind of normal stuff.
Yeah, if you draw a line between Chicago, St. Louis, east to say Detroit and Indianapolis, we've been basically on the warm side of these systems. We've had a lot of events pass us. Now, granted, we've had some decent amount of snow, but even yesterday, 5.6 inches of light, fluffy snow. Like you said, you can kind of blow it away. Typically, meteorologists look at how much water vapor is in the atmosphere, and you condense that into liquid, and then you convert it with a certain ratio to figure out how much snow you're going to get. Usually, if temperature's around 30 degrees, we use the old 10-to-1 rule, 10 inches of snow for every inch of rain. So if you have a tenth of an inch of water, you'll get about an inch of snow. Yesterday, believe it or not, we had 5.6 inches of snow at O'Hare, and the snow ratio, the liquid-to-water ratio, normally, when it's cold out, with temperatures in the mid-20s, you may go 15-to-1, 18-to-1. This was a 25-to-1 event. And it wasn't so much because the temperatures were cold, but they really weren't that cold. They were generally about 25 or 26. But the upper levels of the atmosphere, Mike, were so cold, because this was the backside of this massive storm system. It acted almost like thunderstorms, where the snow was coming down in very, very large flakes and very fluffy. So if you took 5 inches of snow and melted it down to water, you would basically have about maybe one, I'd say 0.05 of an inch of water, which is like nothing, which is really amazing. I wouldn't be surprised if people go outside today and go to broom off their car of 5 inches of snow, and it's probably already settled down to about 2 to 2.5.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, even though we've gotten snow, even though we've had a fairly snowy period here, like you said, we've missed most of it. But the good news is that the ground is still, in certain areas, the ground is still somewhat soft. So some of that precipitation from the last couple of weeks is soaked in because we did have the rain. And again, I always like to talk about getting beneficial moisture in November and December. So far, we're up to 2.7 inches of water for the month. And this is going to bode very, very well as we head into the growing season next year. So I would like to talk about the silver lining in some of these types of events.
There we go. There's always something. I mean, even in the dead of winter.
It was fun to play in, too. It was good, playful snow. I took my son out. We tried to go sledding. Yeah. Couldn't find a sled, though. It was kind of disheartening. I went to 3 different hardware stores, and no one had a sled.
Oh, yeah, I think they're probably all gone because everybody kind of got on the sled kick. You may be able to find some today because they're good after Christmas now.
But it was, it was fun. It was fluffy fun, good time snow.
Yeah, it was definitely the kind of stuff that you can get in your car, just put the wiper blades on, and you're done.
Well, next week we'll be back over to your place, Rick, with the meteorologists are gathering again.
As long as Rick cooks again. Woo! Great food at your party.
Thanks. Well, I still need people to clean up.
There weren't that many people. I'm not coming by to clean up. That's all I got to say. I can't even clean up my own place. And now I know where you're standing when it sounds like you're talking in a cave when you call us here on Sunday morning. Now I got a visual image because it is a cave.
Yeah, it is a nice view out over the lake.
Yeah.
The lake looks beautiful again today, Mike.
That's great. Rick DeMaio Weather, you can go to my website, mikenovak.net. Click on the homepage to DeMaioWeather.com. All the stuff is there, the radar, and even if he doesn't quite get it in advance, he gets it on the backside. So, And you're on Channel 2 when?
On tonight. Yeah, we have a 10 o'clock show. Football precedes us. The 6 o'clock, and then I'll be on again next week as well. And It was kind of fun sending the reporters out chasing the snow yesterday. I like being wanted in those kind of situations.
Especially, do they ask you where they should go to get the best shot?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm able to tell them where I think they're going to get their best pictures from, where they're going to get their best video from, where they're going to get their best stories. So here I am trying to do three different things, which is monitor the weather, build my show, and then interact with the reporters and the anchors and the producers. So that's what you get paid for. You know, you don't get paid to sit around and do nothing when there's bad weather. But I love it. It's fun stuff. Any way you look at it, it's enjoyable all the way around.
Well, have a great New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and we will talk next Sunday in 2010.
See you next year, Mike.
Yeah. Ha-ha. All right, bye-bye.
Take care, Rick. Thanks.
Rick DeMaio Weather on the Mike Novak Show. The great pioneering ecologist Aldo Leopold once said, and this is a quote, "The outstanding scientific discovery of the 20th century is not television or radio, but rather the complexity of the land organism. Only those who know the most about it can appreciate how little we know about it. The last word in ignorance is the man who says of an animal or plant, what good is it? If the land mechanism as a whole is good, then every part is good, whether we understand it or not. If the biota, in the course of eons, has built something we like but do not understand, then who but a fool would discard seemingly useless parts? To keep every cog and wheel is the first precaution of intelligent tinkering." I like that quote. At WRD Environmental, they not only appreciate the complexity of our region's ecology, but are dedicated to protecting, restoring, and healing it. They create sustainable landscapes from large-scale master planning to community pocket parks. For innovative, sustainable landscape development, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology, and online at WRDEnvironmental.com. Now, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you haven't disposed of your Christmas tree yet, did you know that you can turn it into a bird feeder? A Christmas tree makes a great shelter for birds in your backyard and offers a place for them to rest and feed. Remove all decorations and hooks from the tree, of course, and secure it in the ground or to a post. Make edible ornaments from pine cones, spread in peanut butter and rolled in bird seed, or you can use strings of popcorn. Be sure to have a nearby water source available for the birds as well. Usually the tree will turn brown as soon as the weather begins to warm in the spring and the branches will become brittle. Break the tree apart and recycle it. And next time I'll give you some tips about tree recycling. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years, putting you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees, their businesses, people, and their love for trees. Boy, Clarence.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Welcome. We got CNN News on the way, and then the second hour of the Mike Novak Show. It's just me and Heather here. You're welcome to call 773-838-WCPT, 773-838-9278. I was thinking, and I'm going to do some more of these stories that I had during the year, but I thought if anybody out there had a Christmas disaster or a holiday disaster involving a plant, I'd be interested in that story. And maybe I can, you know, help make up for it. if you had a disaster. So give me a call, 773-838-9278. And, of course, we have Mighty House at 10. I don't know what they're doing. I rarely know what they're doing.
They're talking about fixing stuff.
Yeah, fixing stuff.
Mm-hmm. They're going to fix
things. I don't fix stuff.
I break things.
I've got a one of the things that I get notices from various places, and the Wicker Park Garden Club is really great. Doug Wood, Dennis Browning, Leslie Zimmerman, various people there. Richard Tilley, who's been on the show. They are setting up a design studies for your home, community, or business garden for 6 weeks. It's a six-week series, and it's January 23rd and 30th, February 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th. So it's basically January and February, starting the 23rd and going through the end of February from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. And it's $50. And it has professional designers and instructors. They're going to teach you. You'll learn how to amend the soil, study various plants you can use, and then learn design principles to be able to complete a design, draw to scale with the number of plants you will need and amounts of soil. If you've ever wanted to know that, you want to sign up for this, go to wpgarden.org, www.wp, as in Wicker Park, wpgarden.org, and get all the information there. And it sounds like a great way to spend January and February if you're a gardener and you've always wanted to learn how to design your own garden and do it, you know, like the pros do. All right, let's do some news. Come back. I got some more stories about drinking raw milk, killer tomatoes, killer petunias. It's all next on the Mike Novak Show.
On the radio this year, I hope to score with some funny jokes you've never heard before. I resolve not to tell a corny joke. Hello, what's that? The church burned down. Holy smoke. My earthroot revelation.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. Here he is, Mike Novak.
There's a resolution of all the city slickers. We hope this coming year to bring you lots more laughs and snickers.
All I know, if that voice came up behind me in a dark room, I'd be scared to death.
Of course, as Spike Jones and his city slickers. If you haven't, and if you've never heard Spike Jones before, you owe yourself going online and checking out some Spike Jones stuff. You know, I haven't gone online because I know about Spike Jones, so I don't even know what's out there.
It's good old radio.
I wonder
programming.
If there's some YouTubes. I bet there's YouTube stuff out there. Whatever. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Welcome to the end of 2009. I hope it's been a good year for you. If it hasn't been, then good riddance, and let's move on to a new one. I mean, that's the great thing about the end of the year. If you didn't like the one before, just let's try out a new one, okay? Let's just clear the slate and move on, all right? And Heather Fry and I are here today, and we're talking about some of the odd stories that appeared on my radar screen last year, and for some reason, one reason or another, didn't make it on the air. Like, and if you go to my website, you'll see the killer tomato link. Botanists have discovered for the first time that The plants are carnivorous predators who kill insects in order to self-fertilize themselves. How about that? Tomatoes. New research shows that they capture and kill small insects with sticky hairs on their stems and then absorb nutrients through their roots when the animals decay and fall to the ground. It is thought that the technique was developed in the wild in order to supplement the nutrients in poor quality soil, but even domestic varieties grown in your vegetable patch retain the ability. The killer plants have been identified as among a host of species that are thought to have been overlooked by botanists and explorers searching the world's remotest regions for carnivorous species. And, you know, here we got them right in our own backyard. We're growing them in our yard.
Now we're growing them out of window baskets that hang upside down.
Well, we're torturing them, yes.
We're waterboarding our tomatoes.
We're waterboarding our tomatoes, exactly.
No wonder they've taken to a killer lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I did that. That we had the Dick Cheney piece,
yes,
earlier with the waterboarding tomatoes. Maybe I should bring that back up. I don't know. It was for the 4th of July. You know, we could do that. Why not? As long as we're redoing things.
Yeah. I do have a holiday plant horror story. Alas, it didn't take place this year. But in previous years, I have one about an African violet and a pot full of gravy.
I beg your pardon? Oh, okay. Well, give us the story.
Well, my mother, from my grandmother, she always had African violets along the stovetop, along like the little sort of mantelpiece on the back of the stovetop. And she had taken the bird. It was Thanksgiving, and she'd taken the bird out of the pan, and she was adding, you know, seasonings and flowers, and she was whisking the remnants in the bottom of the pan really, really hard to make the homemade gravy. And all of a sudden, this African violet, a rather large one, just went, bam, landed face first, you know, upside down in the gravy pan, and dirt and leaves and everything, and, you know,
yikes.
Oh, yeah, and it's Thanksgiving, so there's, like, you know, an obscene amount of potatoes, and everyone's expecting gravy, so my mother, being a consummate professional, picks up the African violet, puts it back in the pot, puts it back up on the shelf, scoops out all the really big chunks, grabs her thing of black pepper, shakes it in there, and breaks up the little ones, and we had dirt gravy, and it was delicious.
You know, if it's good dirt.
It was good dirt. But my grandmother, my mom's mother-in-law, my dad's mother, and my mom's dear friend, both witnessed the African violet, you know, hit the pan, and they were like, oh, I can't believe you did that. I would have thrown it out the back door. You know, and she was like, well, we got to have gravy. It's Thanksgiving.
Hey, look, anybody who's ever done the 10-second rule knows that. Now, I've not heard of the African violet rule in the gravy.
Right.
Or African violet in the gravy rule. But why not? I mean, where are you going to go out on Thanksgiving
right,
day?
Right, and get gravy. It culminated with, you know, the three of them then sort of side-joking at the table about the special ingredient in the gravy, and me being young and naive, I thought they really did something.
Yeah.
So, of course, the topper was when I turned over to my mother and I said, Mom, this is the best gravy you've ever made, not knowing that she was feeding me dirt.
And it was the best gravy.
It was the best gravy.
And you
gravy
were
ever.
Healthier for it.
I was. I grew an inch that year.
I think so. Getting back to the story about the killer tomatoes, according to this story, and by the way, this is the Telegraph out of Great Britain. The number of carnivorous plants is thought to have been underestimated by up to 50%. And many of them have, until now, been regarded as among the most benign of plants. Among them are species of petunia, ornamental tobacco plants, some varieties of potatoes and tomatoes, and shepherd's purse, a relative of cabbages. Researchers at Royal Botanical Gardens, Kew, which carried out the study, now believe there are hundreds more killer plants than previously realized. Professor Mark Chase of Kew and Queen Mary University of London said, quote, the cultivated tomatoes and potatoes still have the hairs. Tomatoes in particular are covered with these sticky hairs. They do trap small insects on a regular basis. They do kill insects. He went on, we suspect in the domesticated varieties they are getting plenty of food through the roots from us, so don't get much benefit from trapping insects. In the wild, they could be functioning in the way that could properly be considered carnivorous. The study said it is likely that the meat-eating qualities of many plants has gone unrecognized because they are missing some of the prime characteristics associated with carnivorous species. The researchers, this is great. The researchers publishing their finding in the Botanical Journal of the Linnaean Society said, quote, "We may be surrounded by many more murderous plants than we think. We are accustomed to think of plants as being immobile and harmless, and there's something deeply unnerving about the thought of carnivorous plants." Oh, you've got the attack of the killer tomato. You can just tell me. It's what?
Well, we got the trailer or the intro song, so whichever one you wanna hear here.
All right. Let's go with the trailer.
Okay.
All right. We got the
shattered.
Oh, wait. Was that it? Or is that something else coming up through the computer?
No, that's it.
Lives are shattered. The nation is in chaos. Death and destruction sweeps the country. Foursquare Productions presents perhaps the funniest film ever made. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Attack
of the Killer Tomatoes. You've never seen a film like it. This is the incredible story of the world's ultimate disaster. Vicious man-eating tomatoes grow to monstrous proportions. Faced with this unprecedented menace, the president calls upon Mason Dixon, special agent. Join Mason Dixon in a race against time as he battles to save the world from the threat of nature's perfect eating machine, the killer tomato.
You need the visuals with this, too.
Yeah, oh, my God.
You've never seen anything like it.
Okay.
Classic.
On DVD, for the first time, only in stores, September 2003.
Yeah, the trailer was kind of old.
Yeah, well. Oh, well, the movie itself goes back to the 70s, so. Do we do the... the waterboarding, since we're on the subject.
Absolutely.
Since we're recapping things that went on through the year.
The poor tomatoes.
All right. I don't even remember this. All right. I don't remember how it goes. I'm just going to roll it.
A message from the former assistant commander-in-chief.
This is your former assistant commander-in-chief, though we all know who the real commander-in-chief was. Those were 8 good years. Wiretapping, illegal detention, trampling the Constitution, shooting people in the face. Good times. Anyway, I'm reporting from an undisclosed location, far from any progressives. I tend to break out when I get near progressives. But I was sitting here, preparing for my 4th of July barbecue and waiting for the next terrorist attack on American soil, when I started thinking about the word soil. And, as a public service for the Mike Novak Show, I listen to the Mike Novak Show every week on Sunday from my undisclosed location. I thought I'd give you progressives... I think I'm getting a rash just from saying the word. I thought I'd give you listeners a tip on growing great tomatoes. Now, you may have heard of the hanging tomatoes. Some people call them upside-down tomatoes, the ones you hang from your porch or deck. Now... some people like them because they ripen faster. You know, the heat warms the root system. There are fewer weeds and fewer soil-borne diseases. Some people like the hanging tomatoes because they are easier to water. Well, I like them because they are easier to waterboard. You already have those suckers upside down. They're helpless, so you can do anything you want to them. Of course, when you waterboard a tomato, You can't count on the information you get from them. They'll scream, "I'm ripe, I'm ripe," and they won't be anywhere near ripe. You have to be careful about that kind of information. Some of those plants will yell, "I'm not a vegetable, I'm a fruit, I'm a fruit." And I say, don't ask, don't tell. Okay, that's it. I'm going back to waiting for the next terrorist attack because I care about the American people. And if you have any extra water-boarded tomatoes, send some to my undisclosed location for my 4th of July barbecue. Wait. It's undisclosed, so never mind. There are plenty of mushrooms down here. We'll just grill up a threatened species.
Ah, good old...
2009. I remember it well. It was a great year. We have, you know, it reminds me, I got something else I got to play from last year. We may have to do the Jose Cuervo cookie recipe that was last year. I'd have to track down the audio for that, but it's somewhere there in the file as well. But that, I guess that sort of wraps the segment on killer tomatoes and killer petunias. What else have we got here? Let's see. Here's one I thought was kind of interesting. This one actually did make it to the air, but very briefly. This guy, there's this naturalist, and this was in the New York Daily News, September 23rd. The headline, "Time to pull the plug on giant pandas and let them go extinct," argues...
I read that. I remember that
argues
one.
Naturalist Chris Packham.
The funny thing is my son got a toy panda bear for Christmas, and I was just thinking of that story yesterday.
I say, paint the white so it doesn't look like a panda, just because they're not even going to be around anymore after a while. Just, I don't... Let me do this story. Trivia? What kind of trivia do you want?
Well, I don't know. You said you wanted to give things away today, so we should get our lucky callers and listeners.
Yeah.
You should see the gardening goodies stacked up in here, folks. There's books and information.
So we'll have to do another trivia. Well, the only question we did so far today was so easy.
Right?
I'd have to go out, but I'm so busy reading these stories, right. I don't have time to do my trivia here. All right. But at any rate, the story went like this. Conservationists should, quote, pull the plug on giant pandas and let them die out, according to BBC presenter and naturalist Chris Packham. Here's a species, and it's quoted here, here's a species that, of its own accord, has gone down an evolutionary cul-de-sac, Packham told Radio Times magazine. Packham believes that money spent on conserving the panda would be better invested in other animals, as the species is not strong enough to survive alone. It's not a strong species. Unfortunately, it's big and cute, and it's a symbol of the Worldwide Fund for Nature, the WWF. And we pour millions of pounds into panda conservation, he added. I reckon we should pull the plug. Let them go with a degree of dignity. Wow. Now, apparently they're confined to forests, giant pandas, forest areas high in the mountains of southwestern China, and they have to consume huge quantities of bamboo to survive, and they number around 1,600 and are threatened by agriculture, logging, and China's increasing human population. Now, Packham's views are not widely shared, I should add. Does somebody complain about pandas?
No, someone told me I should be home with my child, not on the radio talking about him. I have an overwhelming feeling they were set up to call us. And I just told him
this
I was being...
This is one of your friends?
A practical joker friend of a friend would be my first assumption.
Yeah.
So my retort was, I'm being monitored by the FCC, so I couldn't say what I was actually thinking.
Uh-huh.
And I told him to have a nice
right,
day.
Right, right. And of course, and the corollary to that is that all women who have children should immediately quit their jobs and go home and be with their kids.
Yeah, especially when, you know, I'm the only one home with the kid.
Yeah.
So that'll work. We'll just starve.
Yeah,
I'll be home with him, but we'll starve.
But back to the pandas.
Sorry. Could you tell by my face I wasn't pleased?
I don't know. It just, you hung up rather quickly.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Packham's views, I said, were not widely shared. This other guy, Mark Wright, a WWF conservation science advisor. Of course he would, because the pandas, the symbol for his organization, the Worldwide Fund for Nature, he says, it's a daft thing for Chris to say and an irresponsible one. Pandas have adapted to where they live. They live in the mountains where there is plenty of bamboo. It's like saying the blue whale is an evolutionary cul-de-sac because it lives in the ocean. Well, I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but there you go. That's the panda controversy. I shouldn't have gone there. I should have gone to this story next. And it's another one that I did mention during the year, but it was very quick. Man attempts to shoot dragonfly with rifle, misses, and hits friend in the head.
Oh, God.
This was August 29th in South Carolina. A man has been flown to hospital after he walked in front of a friend who was trying to shoot dragonflies with a rifle and was shot in the head. The incident was, and I don't think Dick Cheney was anywhere near this. The incident was ruled an accident after the injured man was able to tell paramedics what had happened. Several local schools went into lockdown until the exact nature of the shooting was known.
Oh, dear.
I know. The world we live in. You know, and speaking of
What's wrong with a fly swatter? You need a shotgun, double barrel for a dragonfly?
Well, the other thing, dragonfly. Who shoots a dragonfly?
Yeah, they eat mosquitoes. We like dragonflies.
You might as well start shooting at pandas, you know? they're in an evolutionary cul-de-sac anyway. Yikes. And then to do another segue, the dragonfly mystery, there were in New York... around the same time as the guy trying to shoot dragonflies with a rifle. Good God. In the summer, New Yorkers reported curious sightings of dragonflies in the urban corridors of New York, crashing into Times Square skyscrapers, darting about the financial district, mating in Hell's Kitchen. I know, I like the way they wrote that. And dying in Chelsea. There were... lots and lots of dragonflies. I think it was a good year for dragonflies there. I wonder what they attributed it to. Well, there were just different reasons, I guess. New York City is home to at least 80 species of dragonflies, with the heaviest concentration of different species in Staten Island's Ocean Breeze Park.
That's cool, because you don't think...
No, you don't.
Dragonflies and you think New York. You think litter and mean people.
Yeah, something like that.
And the damn Yankees.
Yeah. This is the mic. No, were you digging up trivia for me?
Yes.
That so we could give something away? But I'm going to do some business before we do that, and then I think, we could try to do that. Or if you've got a plant disaster story from the holidays, give us a call, 773-838-WCPT. We'll be right back.
Logan Square's Cafe Bella is all about wonderful food at highly affordable prices. There are Latin, French, and Italian influences in Chef Cesar Casas's decadent sandwiches and wraps, bruschetta and mango-fused guacamole, all served with great coffee. For the tilapia provençal or salmon filet, you may want to BYOB. Cafe Bella, 3311 West Fullerton, just east of Kimball. Go to cafebellaonline.com or call 773-292-5040. Cafe Bella, for gourmet, healthy eating.
Now that Christmas is over and we're on the eve of New Year, it's probably time to take a look around the house and tend to some of those all-important indoor gardening tasks you've neglected, such as repotting the unruly house plants that were temporarily shoved behind the bookcase when you made room for the Christmas tree. Let me give you a tip. Sid's Greenhouses is sponsoring this, and they've got the right soil mixes and fertilizers for every plant in one of Chicagoland's largest assortments of decorative pots and pottery. Keep in mind, though, if you're repotting, you just want to go to the next size pot. Don't take a small plant and put it in a huge pot. Now, why? Well, often what happens when you do that, you got a small root system, you get a huge pot. What do? If you water the pot and you put all this water into it and the soil holds on to it, the root system can't possibly absorb all that water, and often the plant roots rot and the plant dies. So you don't want to go overboard with, don't anticipate that this tiny little 4-inch plant is going to go into a 12-inch pot right away. You do it one step at a time. Go to the next level. So you got a 4-inch pot, you're going to really to a 6-inch pot. Keep that in mind when you're potting as your plants get, repotting as your plants get larger. By the way, if you've been enjoying a lovely poinsettia for the last several weeks, listen to this. Now through February 1st, you can trade in your poinsettia. Cash for clunker poinsettias, is that it? I don't know. You can trade in your poinsettia plant. We have to come up with a phrase for that. You can trade in the poinsettia plant at SIDS and get 25% off a shiny new tropical plant. Oh, and just in case you haven't had your fill of Christmas decorating, all remaining Christmas merchandise is 60 to 75% off while supplies last. Get ready for next year right now. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
Attention teachers! Want your class to really engage in American history? OneHistory.org has presentations that make history come alive. A 10-year-old Civil War powder monkey. A Depression-era 7-year-old pushing a horse plow. A group of teenage girls facing off against Southern bigots in the Civil Rights Movement. We know how to reach your students. Whether it's for a history class or providing a context for American literature, our presentations get to the heart of history. OneHistory.org. The truth is in the details. Check out our website, www.onehistory.org. That's www.onehistory.org. Or call us at 216-956-6300. 216-956-6300.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old exile?
Absolute favorite version of Auld Lang Syne, Beach Boys. I think that's...
They had amazing harmonies.
Yeah. This is great stuff. I'm thinking, wow.
I'm a firm believer.
You guys took all that time to learn a song that you sing once a year. That's the other thing. But that's the way it goes. All right. We are going to give away something here. I'm going to do the quiz. I'm not asking the questions now. I'm going to get people on the phone, and we're going to give them one shot.
Okay.
All right? So let's line up
people. So if you want to win stuff, just call us.
This is how pathetic we are.
Yeah, it's not pathetic.
Just dragging people.
Yeah. They've been good. They put in all their hard work at Christmas time. It's time to call up and get rewarded
themselves,
enjoying their favorite radio program and a cup of coffee on a nice, wintry, sunny Sunday morning.
All right, put the positive spin on it. I'm more the dark side here. Yeah. But give us a call, 773-838-9278, if you want to participate in the quiz. You don't get to know what the question is until you're actually on the phone.
It's about gardening,
and if you answer correctly, you get one crack at it. If you answer correctly, you win. If you don't, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya.
Yep.
Okay? So give us a call, 773-838-WCPT. We'll do that in a sec. I wanted to go back to some of these stories that were on my radar screen. Is this the... that's the one you gave me. All right, so I've got to use this clicker here.
Yes.
While we're on the subject of insects, there's ant mega colony takes over world. Doesn't that sound...
That sounds like another Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
It does, doesn't it?
Giant ant, like Mothra.
Yeah. A single mega colony of ants has colonized much of the world, scientists have discovered, it says here. And this is BBC. It's like all these, the most interesting stories seem to come out of Britain. And I don't know why.
They've got good news people
They got people working on it there. By the way, 773, we got some calls coming in right now. 773-838-9278. We'll put you on hold. We're going to ask you a question and give away valuable Mike Novak prizes. Books that have been sitting in his garage for a while and he doesn't know what to do with. But have not been used. So, and some of them haven't been sitting in my garage. Although last year we pulled out one of those books that was sitting in my garage, and it had a spider in it, which was, and it kind of crawled out right here in the studio.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
Before we, who's that?
We have Jim from Berwyn.
Okay, Jim, hold on just a second. I got to finish the ant story here. Argentine ants living in vast numbers across Europe, the U.S., and Japan belong to the same interrelated colony and will refuse to fight one another. The colony may be the largest of its type ever known for any insect species and could rival humans in the scale of its world domination. What's more, people are unwittingly helping the mega colony stick together. It's Argentine ants, or Lenepithema humile. Were once native to South America, but people have unintentionally introduced the ants to all continents except Antarctica. Well, yeah, go figure. These introduced Argentine ants are renowned for forming large colonies, for becoming a significant pest, attacking native animals and crops. In Europe, one vast colony of Argentine ants is thought to stretch for 3,700 miles along the Mediterranean coast, while another in the U.S. known as the Californian Large extends over 560 miles along the coast of California. A third huge colony exists on the west coast of Japan. They're highly territorial. Those living within each super colony are tolerant of one another, even if they live tens or hundreds of miles apart. Each super colony, however, was thought to be quite distinct. But it now appears that billions of Argentine ants around the world all actually belong to one single global mega colony. We're done. We're doomed.
We're going to be taken over by ants.
Ants. All right. So with that good news as we head into 2010, all right, I'm going to go to... Oh, I'm sorry. You couldn't type them up because I had the wrong screen up there for you. Sorry. Who'd you say was on line one?
We have Jim on line one.
Jim!
Hi.
Welcome to the Mike Novak Show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. It's trivia time. End of year, giving away some books. All right, which question should we... it's like I ask a question, I give you four possible answers. All right, I'll start with this one. Are you a gardener?
Yes, I am.
All right, we'll see what you know here. Here's the question. which side of the garden is the best place for tall or climbing plants? You've only got four choices: south, west, east, or north. South, west, east, or north. Which side of the garden is the best place for tall or climbing plants?
Boy, that's a tough one. I would say east.
Oh, so close.
Okay.
So close. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm feeling generous. I'm going to give you one more. All right.
Okay.
This is an easy one. All right. I think you know. You should know the answer to this. See, I'm already breaking my own rules here.
I
don't have the heart to turn anybody down. All right, Jim. Here you go. Which family is? By the way, the answer was north. Did I say that?
Yeah. No, you didn't. <You're good. laughs>
The answer is
it's
north.
North.
It is the north. It's where you want to put your tall or climbing plants. Here's your second question. Last chance. Which family is the potato a member of? All right, so this is a... I'm not asking...
Can I just answer it?
What's that?
Can I just answer it?
Sure.
Solanaceae.
That's even better than I was going to give you other plants that it's... but you have it exactly right. Good for you. All right. Jim wins.
Jim wins.
All right. Let's grab these...
Cool.
Bucket of books here.
Okay.
Do you want a book for yourself or for a youngster in your family or that you might know?
How about for myself?
All right. I got a few here. Let's see. Should I give them a... All right. There's a couple here. Here's one from the Smithsonian called The Botanical Palette. Color for the Botanical Painter. There's... A book I have, A Rose by Any Other Name, or actually A Rose by Any Name, The Little Known Lore and Deep-Rooted History of Rose Names, or, one more, I'll give you one more choice, The Ever-Blooming Flower Garden, A Blueprint for Continuous Color. Which one of the three would you like?
The Smithsonian.
All right.
The first one.
Cool. It's the Botanical Palette, and... It's, I'm looking at the back. Achieving the correct colors is one of the most essential and challenging aspects of botanical painting. The Botanical Palette provides an authoritative and practical guide to this important subject and features 17 detailed step-by-step demonstrations, including 8 full projects by members of the Society of Botanical Artists. Beautifully illustrated with a wide and inspiring range of flower subjects, this is an indispensable resource for all students of botanical art. Jim, you're getting a book.
Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
Right. Happy New Year.
Hang on, Jim. I got to get your mailing address, okay?
You want to do that? You want to put them on hold there? Go ahead and do it. Look, now the lines let up. They hear me do it once, and they go... This is
oh, no,
easy.
I think I just lost Jim. Call me back, Jim. Sorry.
I'm the one who does
home.
That, Heather.
I did. But you've got Mike and Stickney on line, too. Call me back, Jim.
All right. Let's go to Mike. How you doing, Mike? You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you. Merry Christmas, all that cool stuff.
Yep, Merry Christmas, guys.
All right, I'm going to give you an easy one, Mike.
Sure.
Which of these bulbs... can have yellow flowers. Now, you're going to like the choices you have. Okay. A is cyclamen. B is snowdrop. C is daffodil. D is bluebell.
C, daffodil.
Correct.
Woo-hoo!
There you go. See, didn't I tell you this was easy?
I shouldn't even be up this early. That's great.
You know, I love the idea that they throw bluebell in there. It's like
that almost got me.
Yeah,
somebody was very tricky.
It was a trick question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to give you a choice. Let's see, what do we got here? All right. First book, A Place to Grow,
thank you so much for
which is Voices and Images of Urban Gardeners.
You have a very happy New Year. Take care.
The second choice is The Ever-Blooming Flower Garden, A Blueprint for Continuous Color.
Okay.
And the third, let's see here. Let me grab one more. See what we got down here. Third is The Color... based on the question you were asked, the color yellow. It's a book about the color yellow in the garden. So which of those three would you like?
I'll take the number two one.
The Ever-Blooming Flower Garden.
Yes.
A Blueprint for Continuous Color. Lee Schneller has used her fun and easy blueprint system to design hundreds of flower gardens that begin blooming in late spring and don't quit until the last days of autumn. Now she makes it simple for you to apply her no-fail formula to the flower beds in your yard. All right, Mike. Now, do you think you can get... Did you get Jim back?
Yes, I got Jim back.
Okay, great. Try putting Mike on hold so we don't lose him as well. All right.
And you have Marguerite on line 3 from Downers Grove.
Marguerite from Downers Grove. How you doing, Marguerite?
I'm great, Mike. How about yourself?
Hello, Mike.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Can I
continue?
Same to you. Same to you. All right, let me find a question for you.
Make it simple.
You know, but you know me, even if you don't get it the first time, I'll probably cut you some slack. Okay. Interesting.
And Stickney? And the zip code?
I'm going to give you an easy one.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Which of these trees has white bark?
Okay, just in case you get your phone number.
Maple. A is maple. B is ash. C is cherry. D is birch.
Birch.
Okay.
There you go. See?
That was really
easy, wasn't it?
But I'll take it. I won't argue.
Okay. All right. Let's start with, I'll give you three choices also. The first is a place to grow, voices and images of urban gardeners, the color yellow in the garden, or let me find one more down here. Plants from the edge of the world. Which one do you want?
Plants from the edge of the world?
Yeah, that it says. Let me see what that says inside. In October 1987, a great storm drove in from the English Channel, devastating the southeastern countries of. Okay. I'm trying to see. Apparently, these guys went on trips to Korea, Taiwan, Eastern Russia, and Japan. The hunting and finding of interesting plants that you have not seen before. So it's either that, a place to grow, which is voices and images of urban gardens, or the color yellow.
The color yellow, I guess we'll go with that. My okay. daughter loves yellow.
Oh, so. Does she?
Yes.
All right. So, Marguerite, you've got yourself a book. Thank you for listening and for calling in, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to let you hang up. Yes,
you're going to let me hang up?
No. I'm talking to Heather. Yeah, don't listen to me. I'm just in charge. Excuse me.
You have Jill and Sandwich on line 4.
All right, well, we'll get to that in a second. I'll take care of some biz. Hang on, Jill, on line 4. Is she still? Okay. Hold on. I need a little drink.
Might know that show.
That's better. That's just a little coffee here. Get me going. Let's take care of a little biz and give you actually a tip from the Care of Trees. I talked earlier last hour about recycling your Christmas tree, and if you got a real one this year, and I hope you did, it's easy to recycle. The branches of a Christmas tree can be chipped or shredded and used as mulch in the yard to retain moisture under trees and plants, or it can be placed in the compost pile. Obviously, the finer, and it's not going to break down now. If you chop it up, put it in the compost pile, obviously it sits there, and then in the spring it kind of does its thing. You know, one of the things I've done after the holidays is I go through the alleys, find trees that people have thrown out that they didn't recycle and they should have, and I'll cut the branches off and throw them in the yard to use as a mulch over various parts of the garden, which you can do. And then in the spring, you chop it up, put it in the compost pile. What it does is it helps protect the plants from the cold and wind. It keeps the soil temperature even. Basically, it doesn't keep it from freezing. It just keeps the soil temperature even. Now, finally, check with your city or village to find out details about tree recycling in your community. In Chicago, you can go to cityofchicago.org/environment. Finally, never burn your Christmas tree or any fresh conifer wood in a fireplace or wood stove. The trees have a lot of sap, which, when burned, turns into creosote that can coat the inside of your chimney and possibly lead to a chimney fire. Make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people, and their love for trees.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Do it. They're good people. We just had a call from somebody who said, I can hear you when you're answering the phones.
Yes.
It's because she's in the same room. I had a choice here.
It's live radio.
It's live radio. I had a choice. They said, well, you can have your producer in the next room over there where I couldn't see her. It's like down the hall and to the left. Answering phones or in the studio, and I said, "No, I want Heather in the studio." Or
Yay!
John, when we first started, John didn't talk
That's
as much
thing
as Heather.
2009 brought you me. Your look of joy speaks volume.
Am I grateful? Am I supposed to be grateful? Oh, okay. Yeah, it brought me Heather. at any rate, no, we know that sometimes you can hear Heather, and part of the problem is I don't turn off her mic enough, because when she answers the phone, she's right there. So, yeah, we know you can hear it. It's okay. It's, you know, it makes it sound busy, doesn't it? Like real radio. All right, Marguerite,
Yeah, I think she's calling back, and we got Jill from Sandwich on line 4.
All right, Jill, give me just a second. Be right with you. Well, we've passed the winter solstice, and the Earth is coming back around in its orbit like a yo-yo on a string. That's the way I think of it. I know what you're thinking. Holy smoke, spring planting is only 4 months away. And that puts you in a flop sweat about your garden, doesn't it? Hey, take a deep breath and listen to Uncle Mike. You need to get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. This is the garden magazine for our region, which means this part of the Midwest. In addition to the consistently excellent articles on everything from spectacular gardens you should know to plant and gardener profiles, there are regular features like Ask the Experts, What to Do in the Garden, Your Gardening Questions, Regional Reports, and the most comprehensive list of gardening-related events in the Midwest. Of course, you can find Chicagoland Gardening Magazine in your local store or garden center. More than 800 new newsstand locations have been added in the last few months. But why trudge out to the store when you can have it delivered to your home? There's even a guy named Mike who writes a column in the back of the magazine. You know why it's in the back of the magazine? Well, read the next issue and you'll know. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or give the office a call during business hours at 866-806-1498. Now let's find out. Was that the... That's the one I want. Let's go to this one. Sad song. All right.
It's such a happy undertone, though.
It has. It's that, you know, that polka thing. Always.
Polka can never sound sad.
No, even when they try to be sad, you can't really make a polka sad. There's just no way. All right, now I got to find another question because we've got Jill on line four. How you doing, Jill?
Doing good, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
Sandwich.
Sandwich. Where are you picking us up on? Is it 8:20 a.m. or online or in one of the FMs? Do you know?
On the FM.
So it's Sandwich. What would that be? 92.7? Or 92.5?
I think 92.5. That's more west, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 92.5 is probably what you're... okay.
Yay, they work.
You mean, yay, we're on the air, yay. All right. Some of these are hard.
I don't want a hard one.
I know, I'm trying to find an easy. All right. Here's an easy one. All right, Jill?
Okay.
Here's an easy one. Are you a gardener?
Yes, sir.
All right, here you go. Which of these shouldn't be planted in a dry, sunny area? Which of these should not be planted in a dry, sunny area? A, rosemary. B, artemisia. C, lavender. D, hydrangea.
D, hydrangea?
All right.
Yay.
There you go. Good. See? You know your plants. Do you grow any of the ones that I listed there?
Yes, I do. Hydrangeas.
Nice.
And they do well, and because you know that they shouldn't be in that area.
Correct.
All right. Here's the choices you got. Oak, the frame of civilization, or the tulip. The story of a flower that has made men mad. Or, I know, you wouldn't think that horticulture could be so dramatic.
I love it.
Or plants from the edge of the world, which you heard earlier me describe. And I could.
How about oak?
Oak it is. It says, well, this one was sitting out in the garage a little bit.
Oh,
but
man. I didn't
know the
moldy one.
No, it's not.
It's got good old Chicago soot on it, a little bit on the cover, but isn't that just fine?
Just a little bit.
They were. You're resurrecting them from Mike Novak's garage.
That's right. They hung out there.
They
know,
had a good home.
Waiting for the opportunity to go into your house, Jill.
All right.
It's recycling at its greatest.
If this is... listen to this. The ink with which Bach wrote down his cantatas. The tall ship that established the American Navy. The bread that fed millions in the ancient world. The first bridge. The first boat to reach the New World. And all boats after it for 800 years. The great work of art of the European Middle Ages. On and on and on. Oak is at the root of almost everything we know. Still, its role has been almost completely forgotten. Well, not anymore. You're going to get this book. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. I'm going to put you on hold, and you will get the information, or you'll give Heather your information.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And finally, let's go to line five. Who we got?
Vicky.
Vicky.
Hey, here I am.
Here I am.
She was holding a long time. She was real good.
I know. Were you having a cup of coffee or something, Vicky?
No, I was making some farina for my family. Oh,
great. Can I get your
farina?
Yeah, it's that Italian, like semolina.
Wow.
We like it.
Cool. Well, have a happy farina to you. Happy farina.
Happy farina.
all right.
You know what? Just turned on the program where a new couple that moved out to the suburbs, and we're like, we should listen to this about gardening. And so I have to say we're not expert gardeners, but we're all ears and we're willing to learn. So learn us something.
Oh, dear. Okay. I am looking at... All right. What? This might be a little tough. But we'll see how it goes.
We'll take the challenge.
All right. What common pie ingredient is the rose related to? A.
The rose.
The rose. All right. A, blackberries. B, rhubarb. C, pumpkins. D, cloves.
The first one?
The first one, blackberries?
Oh, blackberries. Okay, we couldn't hear you.
Oh, yeah. The first one's black. A, blackberries. B, rhubarb. And take my excitement as a hint, okay? A, blackberry. B, rhubarb. C, pumpkins. D, cloves.
What was the hint?
I got really excited when I thought you were answering A.
I think that was it, because we are using a black...
You win! Blackberries!
Fantastic!
See how easy that was? And you learned something in the process as well.
And you have two new listeners.
Well, fabulous. How'd you... Were you just, like, going across the dial or something?
We like talk radio, AM radio, and we decided to just stop and listen because...
For no reason, probably because...
For no reason whatsoever that we thought we could learn something.
I was probably talking about ants that were taking over the world.
Possibly.
We're in a house now, and we have a yard that we have to make look beautiful, and, you know, spring is just around the corner, so we need all the help we can get.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to have you here, and I hope you listen, and I hope in the future you call in and ask questions.
They hit the right spot in the AM dial.
That's it.
Self-Help Sundays. That's what we do here.
This is Self-Help Sunday. It's part of WCPT's Self-Help Sunday. We go from...
If you ever need help with Farina, then call me.
Absolutely. You are my Farina connection. I will do that. And after us at 10 o'clock, Mighty House is a home improvement program with Ron Cowgill and Joe Builder. And you can listen to them, too. So you got 4 hours. You just put it right on CPT. You know, even start with the... with our town, 7 a.m. You go 7 a.m. to noon. Don't move the dial. It's right there.
All right, we won't.
And congratulations. You get your information to Heather.
Did they select a book?
Oh, right. I got to give them the book. All right, here's your choices. Plants from the Edge of the World. A Rose by Any Name, The Little-Known Lore and Deep-Rooted History of Rose Names, or The Tulip, The Story of the Flower. Wait, let me try one other thing here. Since you guys are into gardening, perennials, year after year of garden color and beauty, it's a Sunset publication.
Well, what do you think, Patrick? Should we go with the rose since that was our question?
Or the tulip?
All right,
the rose.
We'll go with the rose since that was our question.
The Rose by Any Name. There you go. The little known lore and deep-rooted history of rose names.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And I hope I talk to you in the future.
I hope so.
All right. Take care now.
Good New Year. You
bye-bye.
Too.
Happy New Year, right. Happy New Year. And Happy New Year to everybody. We are just about out of time here. Hope you had a great 2009. I was going to do... And go to my website, mikenowak.net, M-I-K-E-N-O-W-A-K.net. I've got more stories that I didn't get to, but some of them are really interesting, like changing climate likely to make super weed even more powerful. That was going to be the next one. Phragmites. Australis, one of the most invasive plants in the U.S., might get even more invasive. That's scary. And I have, what were some of the ones I missed? U.S. vehicle efficiency has hardly changed since the Model T. There's a story. A possible answer to dealing with food waste, accelerated food composting. That was really cool. A website called gardenology.org. It's the Wikipedia for gardeners. The only caveat is there, remember, Wikipedia, a lot of different people put stuff in, and sometimes it's hard to vet, but that's something you might be able to use. I got the links to all of them. Evanston passed a new commercial green building ordinance this year. City living encourages lower greenhouse gas emissions. Fascinating stuff. Next week is a new year. We will be back. I don't know who's on, but... it'll be... Oh, I know. We're going to be talking about the Osage Orange in Kewaunee, Illinois that got saved, and there's a fund to keep it alive in Kewaunee. It was planted in the 1840s by a guy who knew Lincoln, and it's really interesting stuff. And Guy Sternberg, the tree guy from down in Menard County, will be on to talk about that and other more interesting stuff. And I hope we get some more new listeners next week for the Mike Novak Show in 2010. See you then.